free, and our involvement with that. And I don't know that I can do it justice as far as making that announcement, explaining what it is as well as Dr. Howard Hatcher can. He's the founder of Color Free, Crime Free. We've known each other now for some time. And I'm very grateful for the ministry that he has. But he's going to come. He's going to share with us this morning what this is. I mentioned next week is a wonderful meeting that we're looking forward to. I'm going to ask for some involvement in that when we're finished. But Dr. Howard Hatcher.
Praise the Lord. You know, God is kind, right? God is good. I remember being confused. I remember not knowing God. I wasn't raised in church and managed to find my way into lots of trouble. Anyone been like that in your youth? And you courted danger, right? And someone invited me to church. I was 18 and a half, almost 19. They invited me to church. And I said yes to Christ at an old-fashioned altar. And I woke up the next day totally transformed. Every vice that I had was gone. I had a lot of them. And then the Lord began to move so powerfully. And one of the things that he did for me was he allowed me to go to a family reunion. At the family reunion in Texas, we would have 400 or 500 people come from all over the nation. And it was a big deal on my mom's side of the family. And I had never been to one. Well, I get to the family reunion in Texas. My uncle drives in, and I look and I said, at my family reunion, I said, who invited all the white people to my family? You got to remember, I grew up black in America. And I looked and I said, and who are those long... Who are those tall men? They had long, straight, coal dark hair with high cheekbones, yellow skin. And in my heart, I'm thinking, who invited them? Guess what they were? Indians. To my family reunion. And I look and I saw blonde hair, blue eyes. I saw every skin tonation you can imagine. And so my mind is blown at my family reunion. So I have a conversation with my uncle about this. We need to talk. And someone in the family handed me my family tree. And my great-great-grandfather was an Irish plantation owner. He married one of the slave women. They burned the plantation down. The family, because of all the big commotion, it was a big, huge deal, ended up migrating down to Texas from different parts of the South. So that's how the family ended up in Texas. And for the first time, when I went and looked in the mirror, for the first time in my life, and then, get this, my grandmother was Indian. I have full-blood Indian on both sides of my family, full-blood white on both sides of my family, in my family line. So I went and took another look in the mirror. And as I'm looking in the mirror, can I get a little bit of help? Bobby, can you help me? Can Bobby help me out, please? What do you see on my nose? Can you see? Let's get in the light. Can you see any red freckles?
Yes, I can see freckles.
I understand my red freckles now. I understand the Irish, a wee bit Irish, but I didn't understand it coming up. I didn't understand anything other than there's them and there's us. And the Lord began to let me see, after I gave my heart to him, for you to be prejudiced would be to trample the blood that I used to get you here. So I had to let it go. And then the second big event happened in my life. My little brother, a gang member, put a .357 or a Glock to the back of his head, 27, and he was gone. My little brother. Over at turf wars, red, green, blue, I don't know if you know what it's like. I used to subcontract for the Bureau of Prisons, Fed subcontract, and I was a home confinement specialist 18 years ago. So instead of an ankle bracelet, I was the ankle bracelet. So I show up when you least expect it at 2 a.m. in the morning, and then a Hell's Angel answers the door. And this is anyone know who the Hell's Angels are? The biker gang with the big lift, they bite you, you get gangrene. And he answers the door, and he says, Mr. Hatcher, so my job is to surprise him when he least expects it. So he answers the door, and he says, Mr. Hatcher, you know I like you, right? And I said, yeah. He said, however, if you catch me violating, it's better for me to take your life than to let you catch me violating. Because I get 8 years for taking your life for involuntary manslaughter. I get the hard 40 for a third-time drug offense. And I realize the laws aren't fair, and it's upside down. My life is worth 8 years. But him getting caught with a 16th of an ounce of marijuana is going to make him do the hard 40. And my wife had an interesting conversation. That's why I appreciate Pastor Neely in law enforcement. I understand what he does. We used to do it because I read the case files, right? And we don't know who's in the community. There are people in the community we really don't understand. And so my wife had this conversation with me, you'll appreciate. She said, I want you to carry a gun, get a bulletproof vest, or you get out of this business. Well, I was smarter than Pastor Mark. I got out of the business. But, you know, it's because of the dedication to law and order and justice and right things and preservation of society that we have people that are former military and law enforcement. If you're former military or law enforcement, would you raise your hand, please? Would everyone put your hands together for those who are former military, law enforcement? And it's because of men and women who put their lives on the line like that that we're able to sleep at night. I began to realize when I saw how people in this nation, in different parts of the world, are exploiting race divide, culture divide, color divides. They're exploiting it, just like gang members. They're exploiting it because they have their own agenda. But the last time that I ever had to call 911, or has anyone in here ever had to call 911 before? All right, you didn't pick up the phone and go, listen, I've got an emergency over here. Would you send out an EMS worker, but make sure they're white? You know, as long as I was coming up, every time we ever had to call 911, no one ever said, 911 operator, could you make sure you get an emergency ambulance out here and make sure they're black? No. When emergency happens, we don't care what color they are. We just want the help to show up. And that's interesting. You'll say, well, I need a blood transfusion. I only want black blood. What is black blood? All right, I need a blood transfusion. I only want white blood. What is white blood? Well, can I tell you that there is one blood? It is the blood of Jesus Christ. It's red, and it was shed for all men that everybody would know him. And that's what we look for. We look for the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as I continued forward, the Lord began to show me that we had a problem in America where we were being exploited. And usually, if you've got ants in a jar and they're all at peace, no one's fighting. And then all of a sudden when someone shakes the jar, they all begin to fight. They begin to fight each other. They never look at the hand that's shaking the jar. And I believe God has put the body of Christ inside of every community because we represent the kingdom of Almighty God. And that's what the world needs to see is the kingdom of God. And I want to show you that in the scripture, Revelations 5, 7. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Watch this. Revelations 5, 7. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials. They sang a new song. You are worthy to take the book and open the seals. You were slain and redeemed us to God by your blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation. Before the throne of God, every nationality will be before the throne of God. There won't be sectarianism. There won't be division in heaven. When we get to heaven, every nation, every tribe, every tongue. He redeemed us from every, and then he says, and they sang a new song. So we're going to all sing the song, same song in heaven. Isn't that going to be an awesome, glorious time? God's going to put everyone on the same page. And I said, Lord, that is such good news. Well, we've got an event coming up next Sunday where we all get to get on the same page and show the world that we are not in 1921. God has redeemed the church out of every nation, every tribe, every kindred, and every tongue. And I always do an example. Do we have anyone with Irish, German background? Could I get a German volunteer for a second? Just one? German descendant background? Raise your hand if you'll be a volunteer. You do fine. Come here. Come on. I need a volunteer. Come on. Both of you, come on. I need a volunteer. All right, anyone with Indian background in your blood? Come on, stand up front. All right, you ready? I should go for one more. Any wee bit Irish? Anyone with Irish in your blood? You can't do both. You get to stand up. Who are you representing? What's your background? The first one I said. Indian, okay. I need one more background. I have a name. I need one more volunteer.
Somebody's got to ask.
Indian, come on. All right, you ready? Now, watch this. Because I may not be Alex Haley and had a movie called Roots, but I do know how to research. What's your name?
Tanya.
Tanya. Indian. Would you be offended if I did research on your family? I've already done.
Okay.
What's your background? Are we good Irish? Would you be offended if I did a little research on your family? I went all the way back. What's your background? German? Would you be offended if I did a little bit of research on your family? No, son. I did real research. And I've got some of the best records on the planet. Are you okay with that? What's your background?
German?
A little more Irish. But would you be offended if I did research on your family? All right? I went a ways back. You ready? I found out, and you're going to be surprised. Tanya, right?
Yes.
All right, you're going to be surprised. All right, this is cool. Your great, 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 super great granddad, his name was Noah.
And you got awesome.
And he's on a boat. There's only eight of them on a boat, right? All right, you ready? That's cool, isn't it? I did a bit of research. You're great, 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 great. Help me out.
Great, 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 great,
read it, you want to help me say this? I searched out your great. And what was his name?
No.
All right, how am I doing on my research? I'm brilliant. I'm not a failure. All right, but guess what? I can't do research on your family without doing research on my family. Uh-huh. My great grandfather, guess what his name is?
No.
Oh, you've been doing the same history book I've been studying. You've been studying, right? His name is Noah. Wait a minute. If we all have the same great, super great grandfather, what does that make us? A triangle.
Family.
Right? But it starts with a C. And who said it back there? It makes us all cousins. Oh, yeah, see that? It's whoa. Whoa, okay, wow. So I want to say to my cousin Tanya, hey, cuz.
Yes.
So can everyone say to the person beside you, hello, cuz, we're not in Utah, so it's okay. So can you see biblically that we all come from the same family? So give them a hand. Give my cousins a hand. And I'm just about done. When the Lord began to show me that we were all cousins, I went, what? Oh, my goodness. So now I walk towards every human being the same way. We're in an effort to redeem humanity from a state of being lost to being found in the Lord. So I set on a mission to begin healing throughout the world, letting people know that we were in the family of God, and then Adam ruined it for us, first Adam, and now Christ had to come and become the last Adam so that we could redeem family, fallen family members into the family of Christ. And so I was given a city of 300,000 people in South Africa, city government, schools, churches, businesses, a whole city, because they were killing each other after apartheid, to bring unity, and it was very successful. Then Kansas gave me a school system, 430 students, to help get the students on the same page to see that we had more in common than we had against one another. And we're doing the same thing through Color Free, Crime Free. Color Free means we're free from color bias. We're not colorblind. We just refuse to let color blind us. And basically what you're going to be doing, what Pastor Mark has asked you to join along with, is in the Color Free, Crime Free initiative, we're asking if you'd be willing to adopt a police station and preserve the fabric of society, let police know that everyone is not against them. There are citizens who are for them. How many of you think that's a good idea, especially in today's climate? And then we want to reinforce the integrity of community and law enforcement, and we want to be proactive. So I went to Chief Rigolato, I went to Chief Franklin, I went to Sheriff Walton, and we, you can go ahead and switch it for me. So we're working towards supporting law enforcement, and it doesn't mean we're overlooking injustice. Safe and open formats where communities of communication work together, and we have an 8-point strategy. And the 8-point strategy allows us to engage as a community before and after crisis. Usually people have an issue with police after something has occurred. We're working with police before something occurs. How many of you think that's a good idea? And I was asked one question, the pastors that agreed together, would you please agree that you're not going to leave us standing by ourselves if something happens and say the community doesn't like a decision that a DA made or a jury made or a judge made, are you guys going to leave us? And I said, the pastors I work with are not going to leave you. We're going to be there before crisis, we're going to be there during crisis, and we're going to be there after crisis. How many of you think that's a really good idea to let them know we won't be divided? And then the second thing that we're going to do is we engage in role play, which means Pastor Neely is going to have officers come out, and other churches are going to all get together. We have about 25 to 30 churches that have jumped on board and civic organizations. And that means that the police are willing to allow you to present any role play scenario that you want them to be the citizen in, and you're the police officer, but they get to see what the other side is like. They said, yes, we'll do that. If you guys come together, we'll do that. And then I said, okay, how about the shoe on the other foot? How about if the police want you to see how difficult their job is? Are you willing to be put on the police officer's shoes and do the role play scenario and see what it's really like? How many of you would do that if the police came out? Now, here's the other thing. I got a young man back there. He's listening really good. That's important, because we want our young people to know that the police, all of them aren't bad. Most of them are good. Every now and then you get a bad apple. Citizens, most of them are not bad. Every now and then you get a bad apple. So our young people can be aware and have up-close relationships with police officers. Let's go.
Listen to logistics. They're going to give us facts. We give them facts. They give us facts. We share in community-presented police participation. That's where we get to present whatever we want and have the straight conversation to make things better. We already have laws that we're putting into place that Senator Bullard, Senator Dom, Senator Matthews have already agreed. Dr. Hatcher, we need that, and we'll push that on Capitol Hill, push that up the hill in the state. And so we said, okay, so this gives the community a voice in helping laws that are made to help make us safer. And then we have the next slide. Let's go one more. Adopt a police station. So how many of you feel like it's a good idea for a church to adopt a police station and get involved on that level? How many of you would actually help in that process? Would you raise your hand and look around the room? We're willing to help in the process. Now, what this means is they need prayer support. So Pastor Neely will have, and Bobby will have a list of actual officers, and you divide that among the congregation. You'll be praying for them. You can bake some of those good fattening apple pies and cherry pies and banana cream pies and take them down and just make them butterballs.
No donuts.
And so this is going to be practical. Now, this is what they're agreeing. They've agreed that they're going to take the color-free symbols and they're going to put them in the station, and we're going to take the two young men that were up here with me, and we're going to put them on a thumb drive in the police station with the police in healthy interactions, so the police are going to see them every week, young people from our churches. How many of you think it'd be good for the police to remember it's not us against them? And then when they see our young people in our community, they go, hey, you're so-and-so. You go over to the Calvary Chapel. I know your parents. And so that creates a bond, and it keeps the narrative of the world from pulling us apart. And finally, the church would display event. The police are going to make certain things available together with us. And through these videos and posters, it shows them doing things with us, so we tear down that wall. And here's the biggest part. I'll end with this. I want to go to the very last slide, please. So there's 8 points that we do right there. Thank you. Take decals that we're going to make available, and you put those on your car. Everywhere you see a decal on a police officer's vehicle or on a citizen's vehicle, it means that citizen is helping to make our community safe. It also means that legislation that we're working to get passed, if someone commits a crime against a citizen, the judge is going to ask, was this crime committed against a citizen who's working with law enforcement? And then no fancy lawyer can get them a plea bargain so that they get a slap on the wrist. No, we're saying if we work with law enforcement, will you back us up? And they said, yes, we'll back you up. And then the decal, when you see it on a police car, it means they're in use of force training and mental health. 15% of officers right now, 15% of officers have PTSD undiagnosed. Did you know that? Former law enforcement and present police, it's undiagnosed. We've put together a way for them to get the diagnosis and get help on their cell phone. Your pastor is one of the peer-to-peer counselors for police right now. Wagner County can see your pastor in an app, and he's actually talking to them about how to bring it down, how to reel it in when they get in difficult situations so they don't throw away their career. Isn't that a great idea? That's what your pastor's doing right now. Could you give him a hand? He's doing that right now, and he looks good on camera. He looks good on camera. And we're getting ready to do some more. So we've got peer-to-peer, we've got mental health, highest divorce occupation, and one of them in the nation is law enforcement. So we've got divorce, we've got not divorce counseling. We've got marriage counseling. We've got, man, speaking is hard, but you're making it easy. Thank you. So we've got every area and highest substance abuse of any vocation. Guess what vocation it's in? Law enforcement. So we're actually going into that field and providing them the resources that they need, and we actually put it on their belt. So we're doing something, and the highest suicide levels are in the police. So we're actually getting involved as a neighborhood and saying, We are supporting you. The Color Free, Crime Free event, where we're commemorating the 1921, is a narrative that says more good is happening today, and we're not where we were as a city and a nation, where we're not where we were in 1921. It doesn't matter who comes into our city, we are not where we used to be. In fact, look at me. Look at the color of my skin, and I'm standing here, and we're loving God together, and we're celebrating the love of our Lord Jesus Christ together. Isn't that something great? They're not going to say that on the news, but we're going to say it because Jesus Christ is the reason that we walk together and that we share the love of God, and Jesus Christ is the glue that binds us all together. God is my Father. God is your Father. And as long as He's your Father and my Father, that makes us brothers and sisters. And we're going to show the world on May 30th. They're coming in news and people are coming from all over. They want to show division, but we're going to show unity. And I want to say thank you to Pastor Neely for being a part of such a great effort and helping us with other pastors lead the way. And believe me, this is going to have reverberation all over the nation. Thank you, everyone, for your time. Jesus Christ is first.
We're going to pray for this event, but we're also going to pray for Dr. Hatcher. The warfare is intense. When you step out in faith and you start doing something like this and taking a stand for truth, what happens? Everybody here knows you have warfare. And so yes, we're going to pray against that. We're going to pray for the doctor here and for his wife as well, because their team and the work that they're doing is just incredible. And he's got to get, because actually he pastors a church and they've lent him to us. He's got to get back and teach. So anyway, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, we come before you this morning thanking you, Lord, for who you are and the relationship that we have because of the shed blood of Christ Jesus. And I do, and we do pray for unity. You know, the world is coming against everything that you stand for today, and the division is deep and it's dark. And Lord, we pray that you would just shine your light into that darkness, because they cannot coexist. So we pray for unity. Pray for your Holy Spirit who brings that unity to bind us together, Lord. And I pray for Dr. Hatcher. I thank you for him. I thank you for Cindy, his wife, and the work that they're doing. Pray for their marriage. We pray for their family, that yes, you would cover them, Lord. Cover them with your blood, but cover them, Lord, with your presence and unity there in their family as well. Pray for his congregation. You know, they've got to get, you know, when pastor steps out and does something like this, they bear the brunt of it as well sometimes.
Yes.
So we just come against that in the name of Jesus. And that you would fill him with your spirit. Pray for this event that's coming up on the 30th, that people would see that there are people taking a stand for truth and for righteousness and for the glory of God. So give him all the wisdom, Lord, that he needs to negotiate these things that you have given him to do. We thank you for the calling that you've placed on this man to bring unity, Lord, in the body of Christ. And we give you the glory for it. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, everyone. You're wonderful. And just remember, the warfare is real.